What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is July 22nd, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, July 21st at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the West Coast. Hope you're staying as cool as possible out there in the dog days of summer. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. I got a quick story for you about my neighbors for a second. So this has a point to it. I'll get to it. But like, so my dog, she's getting cranky in her old age. She likes to determine where she walks, right? Normal shit for an old person or dog. She has not been wanting to go out a specific door of our apartment complex. And I did not know why, although it did smell weird in that entrance. So then Saturday night, about 10 o'clock, I'm taking her out and I spot my neighbor. Now, my neighbor, this particular family, I don't know where they're from. I know they're white and they don't speak English. So I'm going to guess Eastern Europe. But yeah, I don't know for sure.
Usually a good guess, yeah.
The dude is taking his cat out for a walk on a harness.
Love it.
And then the cat, we go out after the cat has peed in the stairwell where we could go out where my dog is not bidding one to go out that entrance.
Right.
Like, oh shit, that's the weird smell. She's been smelling the cat piss and she thinks she's getting mauled by a fucking alley cat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm realizing is I'm going to turn into like an old guy with a very specific anti-immigrant complaint. It's like, we got to get the immigrants out. They walk the cats.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've seen cats be walked before in harnesses and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've always thought of that in my head as being a like super like only the whitest of white American, like goopy Gwyneth Paltrow-y type, like crunchy white type people would walk a cat in this country. I would not have thought of like a sort of, you know, salt of the earth, potato eating peasant from Eastern Europe, Mark, that obviously your neighbor is. Yeah. I don't know anything about them, but I'm saying I wouldn't have thought that they would be the put a harness on a cat and walk it type. I would have thought it'd be like a, you know, like a yoga studio lady thing.
Yeah, but one potato, whole family, but cats go for a walk. Yeah,
yeah, it seems counterintuitive to me, but, you know, takes all kinds.
I mean, I get like a lot, like I know you're a cat guy, you don't like hearing this, but for a lot of people, a litter box is fucking disgusting to have in your house. So it could be, maybe some cultures just don't want cat poops in their kitchen. I get that.
Right.
So before we get to the show, I wanted to ask, speaking of cat poops in your kitchen, Trey, have you come down with a turbo diarrhea yet?
No, but I know it's coming. I actually was just reading about it. It says symptoms appear 2 to 14 days after exposure. So I'm sure I already have it. I just don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. And then it says it lasts like a month or can last a month. Cause see, I've got like a month off the road. And I was like, as soon as I heard that last a month, I was like, well, I'm going to spend this month pooping the whole time. That's what's going to happen. It's somehow coming. But no, knock on wood, not yet. Katie's fastidiously washing all of our berries and stuff every day.
It doesn't help, but go ahead.
Great. Well,
it's like, yeah, my understanding is like the disease is called pathogen is called cyclospora. So the disease is cyclosporiasis. It's like a vicious case of the shits. And you got to get antibiotics for it, I think, which I've never had to get antibiotics for diarrhea before. It doesn't sound like fun. But so, yeah, my nephew doesn't eat vegetables, which I think he's on the right track. He turns out he's the health nut because it is a hot diarrhea summer. I want to read this to you. And we talk about the American century of humiliation. Let me read this headline to you. Mexico warns of diarrhea risk when visiting United States. It must have been it felt so great to write that in Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. Are they calling it like Washington's Revenge or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, because Montezuma's Revenge. Yeah, I was trying to think of an old-timey American leader guy.
Yeah, it turns out Montezuma's Revenge is the dish best served cold. Mexico has issued a formal travel advisory warning citizens about a growing diarrhea-causing outbreak in the United States as cases linked to a foodborne parasite continue to climb across dozens of states. So the only thing, the relevant part here to like government stuff is a year ago, the CDC made cyclospora surveillance optional, which when you make stuff optional for companies, they don't fucking do it. Even though they should, because Taylor Farms, the company's under control of the lettuce, is probably going to lose millions and millions of dollars and have to rebrand, just change the name of the fucking company because it's a diarrhea company now. Cyclospora had been tracked for 28 years. It's one of six pathogens the CDC stopped, you know, tracking last year after cutbacks. They also stopped tracking Listeria,
which we had an outbreak of a couple years ago. That was tied to boar's head meat, I remember, because that I was convinced that I had that one too. And that, but like, and I'm not, I swear I'm not normally like a hypochondriac-y type guy, but like, I just had, I was like, this isn't diarrhea. This is dysentery. That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is this. I was like, I think I can die from this. And, like, that's how bad it was. And that was during the Listeria outbreak. And I had eaten boar's head meat. And I was like, well, that's it. I've got Listeria. I was telling everybody, it's like, I've got the Listeria. And then one of my like smarter friends, Donnie, was like, I'm pretty sure that'll like kill you if you don't go to the hospital. He's like, plus all the cases that are only in the Northeast that they've confirmed are from the thing. I was like, shut the fuck up, Donnie. But anyway, I guess it wasn't Listeria, but I thought I had it, which is why I remember that being a thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's 2026. And, you know, as of late, Somali pirates are back and now Oregon Trail diseases are back. We're just doing it all over again. Yeah, as of today, 4,000 cases across 40 states or so. We don't even actually know the case count because the states are having to do it on their own because the CDC apparently can't track it anymore. They're just like throw their hands up at it. Maybe we have a confirmed source, which is Taylor Farms, and most of them appear to be in Michigan. Did you see, so Taco Bell is taking the blame for this. We'll get to that. It's why not their fault in a second. But did you see Katie Miller's tweet about like, there were like 4,300 cases in Michigan at one point? This is Stephen Miller's wife. And Stephen Miller's podcasting wife. And she was like, 4,300 people ate at Taco Bell in Michigan? Like she was surprised by that. And I was like, how fucking out of touch are you people?
Sure, it's way more than that.
That's one day at one location.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway. So
yeah, Taco Bell, like, okay. I found out later they like self-reported or something. Cause when I first heard they were like looking into Taco Bell, I was like, I don't know the right word for this. I was like, but that feels like the restaurant version of racism. I was like, they're stereotyping Taco Bell. Of course, when the turbo diarrhea comes up, they're like, you know, it was Taco Bell. And I was like, and that is bullshit. But then my other smart buddy was like, well, they self-reported. And I was like, okay, never mind.
Well, they did, but they did. That's what you're supposed to. They did the responsible thing and they're going to fuck for it. But like, I was thinking about this because like, you know, whenever. So we've talked about before about how vastly America's food options have expanded over the course of like my lifetime. You're a little younger than me, but yours too. But like,
yeah.
When I first ate Taco Bell, it was, I think, maybe my first experience with Mexican food other than my mom's hard-shell ground beef tacos.
Definitely true for me, 100%.
Ground beef with olives in it?
Yes.
Which is delicious. I love my mom's cooking, but like, an abuela would hit you with a fucking wooden spoon for calling that Mexican
food. Yeah, not exactly autentico.
Yeah. So like, I was thinking like, I've heard Taco Bell diarrhea jokes my whole life, even though I've never personally had it gotten sick from eating Taco
Bell.
Me
too. Yes.
So I'm like, is it just a racist thing? Because Americans' first experience with taco with Mexican food was we mixed it all up with Montezuma's Revenge and Don't Drink the Water and shit.
Right. I mean, I've always kind of thought that. Yeah, I've always been a big time Taco Bell apologist, just in terms of like, no, it actually hits, but also the diarrhea thing. I've always been like, that's just a stupid. People have heard other people say that, so they all just say that. I was like, but that's fucking bullshit. Anyway.
So Taco Bell, I'm quoting here, Taco Bell identified the source before the FDA did and promptly pulled it. Basically, Taco Bell is now a more reliable authority than the Food and Drug Administration. What they did was notice it, and I'm quoting here from an epidemiologist, strong supply chain records at a single restaurant chain, Taco Bell, likely helped a lot with determining the actual cause. So what they did was realize what was making people sick and take it all out of their food products.
Right, which is smart. It's like you said earlier about the Taylor Farms and the brand, like it would hurt them way more. It's like they were getting out in front of it because they know how much worse that would be if they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. But people are acting like Taco Bell did something wrong. Not to obfuscate too much here, but like disease outbreaks in food happen. That's why you have a CDC and an FDA.
Right.
Shit happens. The reason you have them is to be able to track it and to be able to figure out what the source is to recall as quickly as possible. And that's where they fucked up. We don't have that capability right now. So we left it to Taco. We've deputized Taco Bell as Department of Health and Human Services what's happened.
So, but see, you can't. That would hit for some of these people to hear. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what they think. Like the hardcore, like capitalists and stuff. I feel like they would try to use that as an argument for being like, yeah, right. That's why you don't need the fucking FDA and all them. We've got Taco Bell. We've got good capitalist corporations who will take care of that for us naturally as a result of market forces. That's how, you know, shit like that.
I would say that might be fair, except for the fact that Taco Bell's me tossed, excuse the turn of phrase, a shit ton of fucking business for doing the right thing because they made a noise about it, right? So, and try to keep their customers, like you know, healthy. So, like, we're talking about Doge cuts here. And I just want to point out that, like, I'm not sure what they did with the fucking money unless Elon just Venmoed himself out of the CDC budget, right? Because it just, like, disappeared. But I feel like right now the CDC has 3 employees but 5 brand new shiny Cybertrucks. All right. And I just want to ask, like, as a person who believes in a certain amount of public goods and stuff, would we all have chipped in a half a cent more in income taxes so people in Michigan didn't all get crippling month-long cases of diarrhea?
I mean, you'd like to think. Especially because you pitch it as like, you know, today, Michigan, tomorrow, wherever you live, you know.
Right.
You don't want the diarrhea, do you?
It's in like, I forget, 40 states total, but yeah, but the bulk of the cases are in Michigan. But if you wonder what this is like, I read about a 44-year-old nurse she's run out of sick days. She's having to wear a diaper to work even after she got antibiotics. So is it a good sign for your healthcare system where the nurses are working with shit in their underwear?
Yeah, no.
So the actual corporate bad guy, well, I'd say bad guy. Again, some of this stuff is unavoidable. It's going to happen or whatever. How they've handled it has been the problematic part. So it's a company by the name of Taylor Farms. And they seem to be their pre-bagged lettuce options, which just because if you don't buy Taylor Farms, you're like, I'd rather buy the Kroger brand and the Whole Foods brand. Nope, that's them too.
Right.
And if you want to be getting anything extra for paying Whole Foods prices for bagged lettuce, the answer is fuck no.
Yeah.
It's the same lettuce.
Right.
And so the guy who owned, the CEO of Taylor Farms, is a big Trump donor. So the FDA announced a recall of Taylor Farms lettuce. And the CEO went to the White House, had a big meeting, and then came out and announced the FDA was apologizing to them.
Right. Yeah, I saw all of that. So, right. The CEO met with Trump or whatever, and then the FDA was like, no, it wasn't them, actually, but it was.
So what happened? Okay, so this is where it gets really confusing. And what you want is really confusing public health messaging in the middle of a public healthcare crisis, right?
Right.
And this isn't the world's worst one. No one's died. Like, we're laughing about this because it's diarrhea, right? It's
right.
there was a false positive test, but it was not the main one. Okay, so Taylor Farms, let me read here. Taylor Farms de Mexico has been implicated in the cyclospora outbreak. The recall of shredded iceberg lettuce from last week still stands. The false positive test was on lettuce coming over the border from Mexico that was not yet part of the recall. If that positive had been accurate, it would have meant more lettuce needed to be recalled. So what got canceled when they did the second test was the possibility of an expanded recall. But the first recall still stands. So the CEO was just fucking lying when he said the FDA was apologizing. They were just informing him that when they did the second test to confirm the first result, they found out the first test was positive.
Right.
The first positive test was false. But that wasn't the main thing.
Right.
Anyway, I just want to offer a reminder here that we still don't have an FDA commissioner right now because the last one resigned after being pressured to approve fruit-flavored vapes because the vape industry paid Trump a bribe.
Right.
So now we got a second bribe-related controversy because the Taylor Farms CEO paid Trump to let everybody get diarrhea.
Well, now if you're, you know, pooping in your diaper, at least you can unwind with a nice Fruit Loop-favored vape option from your local 7-Eleven.
Everyone, we're not eating lettuce this summer. We're eating fruit-flavored vapes.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, I guess it could be worse if you've got the turbo diarrhea, because let me read here. General Mills today, I think, announced a recall of 736,000 Pillsbury rolls over glass contamination fears. So do not eat a lettuce sandwich on glass bread. Would you rather, Trey, poop lettuce or glass bread?
I mean, I think I have to say glass bread. Because,
really?
Because... I heard this poop lettuce makes you poop for like a month. You just talked about that nurse having to wear a diaper. It's like, as long as I survive pooping out the glass bread, I don't know. Then you got like butthole lacerations.
I'm going
how much glass we're talking about in this bread, Mark.
No one knows how much clonazepam by this brand. The people in charge of testing it all got all fucking unemployed right now. So, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, we got a lot more to cover with y'all, so we're just going to go ahead and dive right into it, starting with the Daily Dumbass, as usual. So, Matt, hit me with that graphic if you got it, please. This week's DD is the TV for giving us nothing but reruns, even when it's presidential speeches.
The president is continuing to look backwards, right? In 2026, he gave a speech about the 2020 election last night.
I would like to see him move forward and get off that topic, yes. I'd like to get back to what we're really trying to accomplish, you know, and that's even today. I want to hear where we're going. You know, I'm not all for that conversation at all.
What do you want him focusing on instead?
Well, let's get Iran figured out.
Yeah. All right. So that's a Trump voter being asked about, like, what his opinion on Trump's speech from Thursday night and being like, yawn. Which is basically everyone's response to it, which I found fucking fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating in a good or a bad way, because I feel like the positive interpretation of it is like, because I was in Arkansas and my buddy Caleb that was with me the next day, he was talking about that and how it seemed like no one cared, whatever. And he was like, yeah, man, he's just like, it just feels like he's losing it. He's losing his juice or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's become a more like Papaw shaking his fist at a cloud type feeling with him. Which would be that's a good thing, right? Or no, because Stephen Miller's still there doing shit, or like. But I'm saying, I feel like there's multiple ways to interpret the fact that it seems like people don't give a fuck about his ravings as much as they used to.
Well, like, you gotta, we're gonna get into the various parts of it, but like, you gotta break down what he actually said versus what people were trying to hear in it, right? But if you wanna go for the part that people were assuming he was gonna say and were trying to find in there, he was essentially calling for some sort of authoritarian crackdown. So the fact that everyone just yawns at it is probably a good thing, but I'm not sure what to do when we have a lame duck president who no one listens to with 3 years to go in his fucking term.
Right.
But like, literally, like, even Fox News, like, basically they aired the speech but didn't cover it afterwards. Like, for the entire Fox and Friends is a 3 hour long show, and the next morning they didn't fucking mention a presidential primetime address.
Right. Didn't a lot of people, like, a lot of whatever stations and stuff end up like cutting away from it and shit?
Yeah,
like,
most networks didn't, which is not unprecedented. Biden gave a speech about the dangers to democracy at the end of his term, near the end of his term the last year, and none of the networks cared. So there was one big Obama speech that a bunch of networks. So it's not unprecedented. If people think it's like boring or like repetitive or purely political in nature, not presidential in nature, they will choose not to carry it fairly often. But yeah, I mean, plus in the age of stream, you can find it if you want to watch it. It's not, you have ABC has to carry it or whatever. So,
right.
But I want to emphasize here, to talk about what was actually in the speech for a second, at no point in the speech did Trump directly claim that the 2020 election was stolen. His speech about attacks on elections was the only time in 6 years he didn't say his re-election in 2020 was attacked. That's fucking crazy. They got him to stick to the teleprompter for the first time in years in his speech where he was trying to go ham. For normal people, I want to point out there's usually some connection between what they say and what they do, right? Which is part of why we're through the looking glass here. And what people were like thinking he was going to say, let me quote here from Senator Bernie Moreno of Ohio before Trump's speech. This may be the most important Oval Office address since the Cuban Missile Crisis. They were expecting him to say that John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock were illegitimately elected in 2020. They both were elected senators of Georgia in the same election.
Yeah.
And that was rigged somehow, and they were going to, like, you can remove senators from office. It can be voted out by the rest of the Senate, which the Senate isn't going to do based upon some made-up bullshit because they don't want to keep their jobs. So, like, there's a disconnect between what people said he was going to say.
Yeah.
What he said was in the docs that he declassified and released, and also what the docs said. And there's also a huge disconnect between all of that and what he's doing about any of it, which is jack fucking shit.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in the lead up to it, I saw these like articles, speculative articles and stuff on Reddit and everywhere else from people being like, internally, high-level members of the Republican Party are freaking out over what Trump is going to do or say, you know, on Thursday night, and there's people bracing for, like, I don't fucking know, calls for civil war and shit or that type of thing, all this, like, really, really kind of hyping it up. And then And then it actually happened, and it was just like, it seemed like just a fart in the wind, as they say. So yeah.
It is the most fart. It's the most windy fart to ever be farted into the wind.
Yeah.
It's like, but it did like, so to add to the general air, because like, so back during the lead up to the Iraq war, Bush's White House officials would say stuff like this all the time. You're like, we must prevent another 9/11. We must overthrow Saddam Hussein. Right? Those are two separate sentences and separate thoughts. But if a person just barely paying attention can come to their own conclusions and think you're saying, like, you're saying Saddam, a lot of people still believe Saddam had something to do with
9/11. 100%. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I know at the time, I remember vividly at the time, people, other guys in my high school and stuff, 100% thought, mm-hmm. we had to go in after Saddam in Iraq because of 9/11, and mm-hmm. they were directly related.
And there's never, and but then when they get called, they're like, "Well, I didn't lie, I didn't say it."
Right, and they didn't technically say that. So yeah,
right. But we all know what you're saying. People know what you're saying. Anyway, the point is like the air of fuckery around the shit Trump's saying is way different from the actual words he's saying. But like the what was in the docs he did release, it's pretty funny because what was in there was stuff about how Russia really wanted to frame Joe Biden with some bullshit story about corruption in Burisma. Like, Trump can only release that because his followers aren't going to read it, right?
Right.
And then it's also like there's a bunch of CIA. I like reading this. One thing I do like about Trump's White House is he declassifies a bunch of intelligence documents, so for made up bullshit reasons. But I like. It's not really reading. It's not really looking through the CIA's underwear drawer. It's more like looking at what the CIA has found in China's underwear drawer. So I do find it interesting. But like part of this, their conclusions were basically like adversary governments who have maybe probed our left election infrastructure and found them hard to penetrate or rigging an election, like basically would not be worth the trouble. Because here's the interesting part. They have concluded that they would not need to actually hack any of our elections. They would have to just have to announce that they did it and let us fucking kill each other.
Yeah, right.
So, the foreign adversary is like, we don't have to do shit. We just have to get them to accuse each other of cheating in elections. And then you have Donald Trump being like, these documents say that there's cheating in our elections. He's just doing the GRU's job for them.
It's wild to think about that process, that like, you have to think months at least long and elaborate process taking place in dark rooms in Russia and in China or wherever else where they're considering, you know, undertaking actual electoral interference in the world's biggest superpower and all this stuff. And then one day, one guy is like, what if we just say we did, you know, whatever. And they're all like, that's just crazy enough to work, you know, or then realizing that it could actually work that way. It's like, well, let's just do that. Well, yeah. That's way easier.
So it's like the just the internet version of like was it Operation Mincemeat, where the British floated a body up on the shores of France with fake Nazi invasion plans, right?
Yes, yeah, but that was like that whole thing was like super elaborate and stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The actual like practicality of pulling that off, you know, with like a real body and all that shit. But anyway, yeah, that's a cool story.
Yeah, yeah, good movie on Netflix. Colin Firth's in it. So I do want to say here, like we. One thing, or a bunch of people have gotten very rich from obfuscation in this era of our media, and we as people watching the news should be try to do is to make a distinction between influence operations and rigging elections, because they're not the same thing. The first one's more of like, because people would spend a lot of time blurring the distinction between the two, but like an influence op can be as simple as just like. An advertising
giving
campaign.
Tim Pool $400,000 a month or something. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So, but cheaper than that, you can like, you know, just
boost post on Facebook.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And it's not necessarily inherently political. Sometimes it might be a political ad. It'll be like, you know, you can make any sort of piece of content go viral that causes people to argue on the internet.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Which is like fun to use for them. And but actually hacking a voting machine is an act of fucking war.
Right.
And you got to keep in your head there's a distinction between a Facebook ad and hacking critical infrastructure. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But people don't, for whatever reason, I think going back to like a lot of Russiagate stuff, is sort of the line's sort of been blurred between it. And Russia did actually hack into some election software. They didn't do anything or change anything, and you just saw if they could do it. I think it was in Georgia, right? But they did do a bunch of influence operations going back to 2020 and 2016. So anyway, so Trump is right about some of our election infrastructure's vulnerabilities to foreign influence campaigns and cyber attacks, which, you know, can delay results, which can throw another monkey wrench in. Like, you might not have to, you don't have to actually like flip the results in an election. If you just delay the results a month, you can cause all kinds of fuckery and shit, right? So, but here's the thing about that. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, what helps harden state election systems against data breaches and other threats, got dozed along with the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump also shut down an FBI task force on foreign influence and fired a federal commission to help states administer elections. So are we concerned about this or not?
Right.
I am. The White House appears not to be. And they say they are. Right. Even in the night of Trump's speech, do you know who John Solomon is, Trey?
I don't think so.
He's a like former like right-wing reporter who works in the White House now. And he basically is Trump's point man on trying to find electoral fraud in 2020, right? And he was speaking in front of the White House after the speech and basically was like, yeah, we haven't, there's been no efforts to hack the elections. We can't find any proof that any single vote was flipped in 2020, 2022, or 2024. But we're not through all the documents, he said. So maybe only 6 years have passed, right? You got to give him more time. There's also another big distinction here between downloading versus hacking. One is like anonymous, capital A anonymous, like the cyber hacking group, cyber warlord stuff. The other is just right clicking. And because a lot of us are computer illiterate, I'm going with me instead. We don't really like think about the distinction a lot. But because Colorado got a mention regarding China, it was a local story there. Here's a local reporter in Colorado named Kyle Clark trying to sum up the documents better than I can as they pertain to China and Colorado.
You started going through these documents the minute they came out. Yeah, so as soon as the White House released the documents, I went through each one looking for references to Colorado, and there are two such pages. There's a White House task force report that says that Colorado was among the states where voter registration rolls were, quote unquote, compromised by China. Sounds scary, right? It's not. The second document says that China got Colorado's voter rolls the same way that literally anyone else in the world can, because they're public documents. You can go get them. I can go get them. They don't show how anybody voted. It's stuff like your name, your address, your party affiliation, the things that candidates and parties use to target voters. Now, it's well known that China vacuums up available information about Americans. Unsettling? Sure. Proof of election interference? Not at all, even though that's how President Trump framed it.
Okay. You can go ahead. So do we somehow like I wish we were more British about this stuff, like a stiff upper lip kind of thing, because like we somehow don't have a speed, but like between like we can't describe something as like a bit distressing but not worth shitting your pants over.
Right. It's either like not real or not a thing at all, or it's fucking DEFCON 2, right. Four alarm fire shit you're supposed to be freaking the fuck out about entirely.
Yeah. As opposed to maybe a guy the FBI should be working on this. Shouldn't have laid him off. but you don't need to like lose sleep over it.
No, you don't. But let's take a very quick break, and then we'll continue to talk about the ways in which these things get blown out of proportion right after this. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Now look, who wants to spend an entire Saturday in the summer driving 45 minutes to a garden center, wandering around, end up coming home with some busted up shrub, getting dirt all over the back cargo area of whatever you're driving, dirt all over the place? There's a better way to do it, y'all, and that better way is this week's sponsor, Fast Growing Trees, America's largest online nursery, over 2 million happy customers. They've got fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, houseplants. If it's a plant, they got it, whatever you want, delivered right to your door. Here's the thing. You don't need a green thumb, and you don't need to do any guesswork anymore. Everything they've got is backed by their Alive and Thrive guarantee, so your plants will show up healthy and ready to go. They've got plant scientists on staff. They got plant experts, people that know plant stuff, that are on call 7 days a week that can help you pick what works for your climate, where you live, the space you're working with, your ideas, what you're trying to do. Even if that space is a one-bedroom apartment, do you know you can grow a lemon tree indoors? A lemon tree indoors. My old place we rented had a lemon tree. I miss it every day. We've got baby lemon trees now we're working on, but you should, lemon trees rock. Fast Growing Trees has everything you need to get your yard the way you want it, with great deals right now, up to half off on select plants. And listeners to this show get an additional 20% off their first purchase on top of that with the code SKEW at checkout. That's fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the promo code SKEW SKEW for 20% off better plants and better growing. Fastgrowingtrees.com, promo code SKEW. Let's grow together. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Leesa, L-E-E-S-A. Summer is my favorite time of year, but let's be honest, it's pretty chaotic. Travel, family stuff, work, trying to squeeze something in worthwhile at all these long days we got. By the time I hit the bed, I need that bed to be ready to do its job. Rest me up. That's why we love Leesa here at Weekly Skews. Leesa's got a whole lineup of mattresses built around how you actually sleep. On your side, your back, your stomach, whether you like it to be hot or cold or whatever. You take the sleep quiz they got, and they'll match you up with what you need in about 2 minutes. They're designed and assembled right here in the U.S. of A, and they back it up with free shipping, easy returns, and a 120-night-long sleep trial. 4 months of sleeping on it before you have to even commit. You can't test drive a truck for that long. Pretty good, pretty low-risk situation, all right? You'll figure it out, and you'll see what they got to offer over there at Leesa. Leesa's not just about your sleep, though. They partner with local nonprofits to donate mattresses to families in need. They've donated over 43,000 so far. That's real stuff they're doing down there at Leesa. So it's time for you to go to Leesa.com. That's L-E-E-S-A.com. For 25% off select mattresses, plus you get an extra $50 off when you use the promo code SKEW, S-K-E-W. That's exclusive for our listeners, you, the Skewers. That's L-E-E-S-A.com, promo code S-K-E-W. For 25% off select mattresses, plus an extra $50 off when you use our code, you're supporting the show, so tell them we sent you last time. Leesa, L-E-E-S-A.com, promo code SKEW. Sleep better with Leesa. Week of Skews is brought to you by Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. We just celebrated America's 250th birthday, the old gal. Fireworks, cookouts, the whole deal. Right in the middle of it, Christian nationalists are using the milestone not to bring people together, but to push the lie that America was founded as a, quote, Christian nation, where one religious movement gets to decide who belongs here and who doesn't. Well, that's not what the founders meant. That's not what they built. They built a democracy committed to liberty and justice for all. That's how I learned it. No, that Christian nationalist message, that's propaganda. That's not patriotism. And it's the same lie being used to justify censorship, attacks on public schools, assaults on LGBTQ plus rights, restrictions on reproductive freedom, and government favoritism toward only one extremist version of Christianity. Americans United fights back against all that every single day. They fight for everyone's ability to live as themselves and believe as they choose, so long as you ain't hurting nobody else. The American way. You know, I thought that should be the least controversial idea in America, but things are changing around here. But not if we have anything to say about it. Do something actually patriotic this summer. Become a member of Americans United. You'll be standing up for church-state separation in every corner of this American life of ours. Learn more at au.org/crooked. That's au.org/crooked. And we're back. So, yes.
All right, so here's another example of how this stuff can get spun out of control and like become exaggerated, even if it should be like somewhat concerning. So let me create the quote here from the CIA note that got passed around the internet. Okay, separately, in mid-2019, the Chinese government's strategy against the United States was focused on undermining domestic confidence in the U.S. president. That was Trump at the time. The strategy included efforts to use Chinese contracts within big U.S. companies to influence U.S. business leaders to turn against the U.S. president. The Chinese government sought to identify U.S. journalists as the part that got focused on. Chinese government sought to identify U.S. journalists who had reported negatively on the U.S. president and pay them to write more negative articles about him. The Chinese government wanted the U.S. president to lose the next election. Okay, so paying reporters to write stories. What that says, it doesn't actually claim that journalists were paid. It says that China, someone in China, maybe not with the knowledge of higher-ups in the Chinese government, sought to identify and pay journalists to write negatively about Trump. It doesn't say it succeeded. It doesn't say what journalists or they tried to contact or if it came from mainstream outlets or whatever, what resulted from it. If there's any evidence of actual payments to American journalists by the Chinese government, you'd fucking bet we would know about it.
Right. And again, to reference it another time, we do know about the equivalent of that in the other direction, but from Russia, right, with all the podcasters. I mean, those guys are not journalists. But, I mean, fuck. I mean, they're thought leaders or whatever they are now. But, like, we do know for a fact that, you know, that same thing happened, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To the advantage of the right, though. But
if you guys don't know what they're talking about, we're talking about it was a Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, a few other conservative influencers. Yeah. They were getting paid like $20,000 a YouTube video per week. They were asking one
like
video
six
per
figures
week.
A month, just to do the shit that they already do. You know,
through a cutout in Canada, through a Canadian conservative media company. And they say they were just duped. They were just getting this free money for no reason to espouse their normal opinions, which are just very helpful to the Russian government.
Right.
And, like, so while we're doing this, like, this is one of my, like, stupid nationalist beliefs. I don't think anybody ought to be working for, if you're an American, ought to be working for a foreign fucking government.
Mm-hmm.
You especially ought not be taking money under the table to espouse opinions you do not hold. If you really are enthusiastic about the Kazakhstani oil business, if that is just your personal passion project, go for it. But if they're paying you $30,000 and then also you write an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying actually we should be best friends with it. What's the name of your rapping dictator you love? You can stop saying his name. Say his name.
Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov?
Yes, that guy. Say that again. I love it. Go
on. Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov.
Yeah, so if you're going to take a payoff to write about your best friend Gurbanguly and how someone should pay more attention to his great DJing career, then feel free to do so. But like when China catches you, because we're talking about China a little bit, fucking working against their interests on behalf of a foreign government while you live in their country, they'll just fucking kill you.
Right.
And like, for somehow here, all you have to do is file some paperwork with the government and you can work on behalf of like Saudi Arabia, even though they did 9/11. And you worked in the Bush White House like fucking Ari Fleischer, and now you're a paid spokesperson for Saudi Arabia, and then no one bats an eye about it. But we're supposed to be worried about China maybe paying somebody, even though half of DC is in the payroll of foreign countries, including the White House press secretary. Carolyn Leavitt, before she worked in the White House, was paid to put her name on a series of op-eds in right-wing publications praising a fugitive Chinese mogul who's since been convicted of stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from fans of his purported anti-communist movement. He was just convicted and sent to prison in New York 3 weeks ago. I'm talking about exiled Chinese businessman Guo Wengui, who goes by Miles Guo, okay? But we know she was paid, but pretend that Carolyn Leavitt wasn't paid. Maybe it's just her personal passion project, like to defend the legal interest of an exiled Chinese businessman. You know, that's her fucking hobby. So Guo recently got rich off real estate. This is going to sound familiar to you because it seems like how all these guys around the world are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Guo recently got rich off real estate in China after some sort of ploy where he had a Chinese mayor's sex tape. That's the same thing that Jared Kushner's dad went to prison for, basically. So if you want to be in real estate in the developed world, you better be entrapping somebody with a fucking sex tape.
Okay. He like blackmailed a mayor by having a sex tape into giving him like permits and that type of thing for real estate development deals or some shit.
I think what he did was the mayor was the corrupt one. What he did was obtain the mayor's sex tape and snitch on the mayor to the government and get favor for the mayor was compromised because of the sex tape. What Miles did was obtain it and turn it over to the government and get the mayor sent to prison.
Hmm.
So anyway, he's rich now, and now he's in American jail. So a lot of people, by the way, you're talking about the web you don't want to be involved in with these people. A lot of people think Guo's anti-communist rhetoric was a cover for ongoing work on behalf of Chinese intelligence. So the White House press secretary has somehow Mr. Beaned her way into being a spy for the Chinese government.
Right. Okay. But Caroline Leavitt wrote good things about him, right? Uh-huh. Because he ostensibly says communism's bad, capitalism's good. And that's why she would support that.
Yeah,
but she was paid to do that by China because he secretly
Paid by him or his legal fund. Basically, she was saying how he was being unjustly prosecuted. What he did was he pretended to be an anti-communist crusader. So China has been discovered to be running its own secret police force in New York. They have like a police station and shit.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they harass dissidents who complain about Chinese oppression. So embedding a person in the American pro-democracy, anti-Chinese communist apparatus would be incredibly helpful to them just for fucking intelligence purposes.
Right.
Right. So that's what people think Guo was up to. Either way, what he did, as reported anti-communist activists, was solicit $1 billion worth of donations from people who want China to be free and democratic, and then just keep the fucking money.
$1 billion?
That's the last number I saw, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he's in prison for 30 years now for conning his supporters. Until, you know, Trump definitely pardons him. Right. So until someone wants to put an end to this stuff in general, I'm just bored watching people get rich off it, complain the loudest. Like, where's Caroline Leavitt get the fucking balls to complain about China? Trying unsuccessfully to pay people to write stories when that's what she took money from somebody associated with China to fucking write on their behalf.
I know. I mean, again, I'm saying, like, I know we're small potatoes and all that, but like, it just, like, they, while they're getting paid under the table like this, and it's been proven at this point repeatedly, and they still just talk about how George Soros funds, you can't even, like, you know, protest the opening of an AI data center in person that only gets covered by your, like, local news station in fucking Wichita or whatever, mm-hmm. without people saying that you're some actor that was paid to be there by George Soros and all this shit. Like, everything that's, like, left-leaning is funded by these shadowy communist or whatever the fuck it's supposed to be. And again, I cannot stress enough, I ain't never heard a peep out of these people in 10 fucking years. I've not gotten, you know, any phone calls, any nothing to be doing that. It, you know, these are my interests. My hobby is the opposite of Caroline Leavitt's. So I'll take China's money to just be the kind of, you know, but they're not doing it. But they bitch about this type of thing all the time.
If you wonder how little money is floating around, supposedly center left wing circles, like we were gifted by a mega rich left wing billionaire. He gave us these microphones.
That is true. Yes, we got, we were paid in kind in the form of microphones and cameras and stuff. And what's the girl's name that she's like an influencer on the left? Olivia something, is that right?
Oh, Olivia Giuliani, the one who was supposedly going to fix men problem during his problems with men or whatever.
I think, right, she was caught, she was getting paid in a similar way, I think, but it was like 1/10 or less the amount that Poole and Benny Johnson and all them were getting, you know, that she's the only case I can think of. And it was, and that's another thing too. It's like, you're paying her fucking, you know, like that amount's like, I don't, anyway, so it's not, I mean,
you could just ask Matt. Matt's job is to try to raise money from these people, and he'll tell you how little.
That's true. Yeah. Matt works in this whole thing.
Matt just got a new used Toyota.
And he's really excited about it, too. Yeah, yeah. Matt just put in the chat, fuck him. That's all he said. So
also, we're not just this week, it was, I don't know, discovered or reported on. You remember Brad Parscale, Trey?
No.
He was Trump's campaign director, or digital campaign director, or whatever, in 2016. He got caught up in all the Cambridge Analytica stuff when Facebook was caught doing, like, a, what is now extremely amateur AI mind manipulation fuckery with, like, direct advertising, like, mm-hmm. anyway, back in 2016.
Yep.
His current job is, he's a managing director for the second biggest conservative talk show radio chain in the United States. He's also a registered foreign agent of Israel.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, that overlap, Mark. You know what I mean? That's just smart, covering all your bases.
Yeah. Again, I, like, this isn't about, like, I am opposed to, I think all Americans should make up their minds about American elections based upon their fellow Americans talking to them about the issues, and then how it relates to Israel or Saudi Arabia or whatever is fine. I don't like the fact that half the people I'm talking to are apparently on the payrolls of those countries.
Right.
And we have to contend, it's just a reality, you know, like, we're only interested in when it's some countries. Other countries are free to do it. Saudi Arabia can pay you to do what the fuck ever. United Arab Emirates, Dubai can pay you to do what the fuck ever. Israel can apparently pay you to do what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
And,
well, with China in particular, it's because, you know, it's like the communist thing, right? That's how they're viewed. And also, they're like big and scary and powerful and also communist and everything. So people are like, they're like, they make for a good boogeyman in that way.
I would love to, because, you know, obviously, Chinese government says they're communist. and our government says they're not communist, but also they have a shit ton of billionaires.
Yeah, super rich people. I know. I've been curious about that for a long time.
So, you just like, but it's like, I think the way to think of it is like they're like doing a version of state capitalism, which is currently what we're turning into, where Trump takes government controlling stakes in a lot of different companies. But like, so like. My favorite game we get playing here, I honestly think when you think about like the amount of the countries that could just say they hacked their elections and caused whatever like we were talking about earlier and they haven't done it, I feel like China doesn't think it's in our interest for us to collapse.
I mean, yeah. I've said a version of that about like U.S.-China relations for such a long time, and I know it's come up on here not that long ago too, but usually it's the idea of like us going to war with China, or we got to beat China because they're coming, they're working on it, that whole thing. Or, but yeah, what you just said, it's like, why would China want that though, dude? It's like they have benefited mightily from a lot of our, you know, decisions and the way that this country has changed in the past 20 or 30 years or whatnot. And like their rise is directly associated with a lot of things that have happened over here. It is going pretty well for them, it seems to me. I don't know why they would want that to happen. I mean, yeah. We've been something of a golden goose for China, right? In some regard, for like a while now.
I feel like we're a load bearing beam on China's structural ascendance.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
For a while, at least, like they make a fuck ton of money selling us stuff.
Right.
Right. And we don't care about their human rights abuse as long as they can sell stuff at reasonable prices. We don't really get in their way. We've given them South America and Africa.
Right. Yeah.
So like their Belt and Road Initiative, like if you go to South America right now, if you rent a car, it's a Chinese car. Chinese cars apparently rule. You can't sell them in the United States. Mm-hmm. So like it's like but their favorite game is like, is China our enemy? Or guess which is that famous meme? Like, is China asshole? Let's say I don't do the accent. Sounds racist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. He says, like, Donald Trump, don't listen to China. China is asshole.
Yeah. But so like I can never keep track of whether China's our best friend or our deathly adversary. Depends on what day it is. Because if we want to sell the Maya chips because Trump got bribed, they're fucking great, right? So here's a lady who works for Trump who's also very confused about whether or not China is our adversary. If you can play this video note.
Our elections are definitely third world. I've lived in Beijing, and I can say that the elections in Beijing when they were there are much better than California and the United States.
All right. The elections in Beijing are greatly run, better than ours, right?
What does she mean by that? Like, I don't specifically how? Because she mentioned California, too. I mean, not California. It takes a long time. People always start talking about shit about that, but... How do they do it in Beijing? Do you know?
I have no idea, but yeah. But I bet you if a candidate they didn't want to win was winning, they would. I'm sure the winners announced very quickly in Beijing elections.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, but like, Trump has a big speech to basically accuse China of trying to depose him in 2020, right? If there was any sort of takeaway from that, is that China was trying to personally destroy him. We're currently preparing to host fucking Xi Jinping for like a big like state visit in a couple weeks after Trump just went to China a couple weeks ago, right? We're doing like they're supposed to come in 2 months, sorry. So they offered no answer when asked whether Trump planned any repercussions for China in response to what he claimed was a data breach of historic scale. In fact, Trump, speaking at a World Cup reception in New York, mused that the next time the U.S. hosts the tournament, it should bypass its current North American co-host and partner with Beijing instead. So you can get the host cities of Shenzhen and Kansas City just flying back and forth. The teams would fucking love that.
Go ahead, finish it.
I'm quoting here from Trump. We do China, United States. You have a short flight in between games. The players would love that. He was pitching that. He's credited the idea to Gianni Infantino, who must have been like just nodding, like this fucking idiot. It's the flight is 6,300 miles in 15 hours, by the way.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of wild that they even, I mean, I super, super loved the World Cup, but I was like, man. All of North America, Mexico, the U.S., and Canada, I was like, that's a lot of, you know, that's a huge amount of, and I know they tried to do it logistically where they were headquartered in various places for a long time, but yeah, putting the Pacific ocean. The Pacific Ocean, which covers like almost half of the fucking planet, depending on where you're looking at it from, in between the two host countries is insane. The next World Cup is like, it's in South America and Spain and Portugal, but except it kind of really isn't, because only the opening games are in the South American countries, and then all of the rest of everything after that is in Spain and Portugal. So they clearly know that that would be insane to try to do a transoceanic fucking World Cup.
I also, like, for the viewing purposes, how the time zones work on that? Because, like, you get it might actually honestly make more sense to put, like, some old games on one side of the globe and some on the other for a global sporting event. But I guess maybe you could do, like, Group A in California and Group B in China, and then you wouldn't have to, like, you have to pick a site for, like, the knockout stages, right?
Right. It's just California and China that host it, so it's just an all-commie World Cup, Mark. Is that what you want? Okay.
Yeah. So the most fun side plot of this is, like, Trump accused, basically, he's like, part of the game here is acting like the documents were new to him, like he just discovered them. So he's tasked four separate federal agencies with investigating this data breach, instructing them to, quote, fire those involved in the cover-up and to file criminal charges, if appropriate, against these people. It's the same people that worked for him in 2020 that work for him now.
Mm-hmm.
His director of national intelligence in 2020, 2021 was John Ratcliffe, who's currently his CIA director. So whoever did not put this information in his presidential daily brief, according to him, back in 2020, is the same person who's tasked with finding out who did not put it in his daily presidential brief back in 2020.
Right.
I look forward to John Ratliff arresting himself.
Yeah. It's like that meme from that Tim Robinson show, everybody loves, where it's like a hot dog mobile crashes into a building and he's dressed like a hot dog. Like, look, we're all trying to find the guy who did this or whatever. That's just playing out in Trump's White House every day.
Yeah. So, yeah, another one on the "Are We Enemies with China" thing. Quote, "I'm a big fan of President Xi," Trump said at last week's NATO summit. Praising the country for mostly staying on the sidelines of the war in Iran, despite fears early in the war that Beijing could provide Tehran with military assistance. Four U.S. troops, at least, were killed over the weekend at a military base in Jordan, I believe, that American troops used, that Iran targeted. And I've seen some people say that, like, they probably couldn't have done this without help targeting from either China or Russia. So, yeah, our best friend, China or Russia. Trump likes them both, so I'm not sure how to pick what they. Yeah, so anyway, let me quote here from China. After Trump levied his election accusations on Thursday night, China's foreign ministry responded by saying they had, quote, no factual ground. China adheres to the principle of non-interference in other countries' internal affairs. We have no interest in interfering in the U.S. elections and have never done so. We urge the U.S. to reflect on its own behavior. Where's the U.S. to reflect on its own behavior? So China's basically our wife as we're about to order a fifth beer.
But, well, I mean, what Trump, it's just whatever. It's just,
it's pro wrestling.
He's right. Okay. But it's like him saying, oh, he loves Xi or whatever, but also China's doing this. Does he separate the two in his mind at all? Or does he even think about that part? It just doesn't matter. Like,
I think, so going back to the pro wrestling part of this, like, you generate heat.
Yeah,
to beef with somebody, then you make up with them. Then you beef with them, then right. You make up with them. Then you so beef with
you,
them,
are you saying it's all kayfabe, the yes. Trump and China thing? Like, it's all just for show on both sides? Like,
I don't think it's a true show on both sides. China has no part in this show. That's the thing. Is like, I think it's dangerous to play this game because China just got, there is professional wrestling in China. There are Americans trying to get rich over there, starting pro wrestling promotions, but they just got it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not familiar with the idea of lying for fun.
Right.
So I would recommend that we, in the future, not like the president who does that. I will say this. So this isn't the first time China's hacked or attempted to hack or whatever they did in Colorado, whatever their infrastructure. They got pretty deterred from it last time because there was a big hack back in 2015. They hacked the Office of Personnel Management and American healthcare providers and other companies and got access to basically a shit ton of Americans' personnel and health records.
Yeah, I remember that because in 2015 I was still working for the government. And I remember when OPM got hacked and us getting told about it and stuff. And then it was one of those things. It's like it came up and everybody's like, oh, no, well, that sounds real bad. And then I had two meals and forgot it ever happened until this moment.
Yeah.
You brought it back
But our government didn't. They got sanctioned and fucking, they got whatever the version of, international version of being called into the principal's office for doing it. They got in fucking trouble for it. But then this time around, when Trump basically accused them of trying to overthrow him, a day after Trump claimed the Chinese government had obtained 220 million U.S. voter files, leading to a, quote, unprecedented election security nightmare, end quote, there was little to indicate he planned similar punishment. He's just not doing anything. That's the main takeaway from this speech, is whatever he said, he wants you to think it's a big deal. But he obviously fucking doesn't.
Right. So what? So what was the point then? Like, you know, like, I don't get it. Like, what's the end game or whatever? It's like, oh, he's not really going to do anything. He's just trying to stir shit up. But like, but why?
Like, they continue raising all like a bunch of fuss around. Like, he's still trying to push to get the SAVE Act passed, right? That, which, according to him, would secure our elections. It wouldn't. And like, the detail, the weeds of what's in the bill are bizarre. But like, it would not accomplish what he said it's going to accomplish, which is why it's Republicans in the Senate are not going to vote for it. And Republicans in the House are making a show of voting for it so they don't get fussed at, but they can know they can pass it, and the Senate won't, because the Senate will be responsible here. But they're settling on this talking point, which it's funny, and I want to talk about for a second. Here's a White House spokesman talking about the SAVE Act and voter ID. And I've seen a bunch of people use this talking point.
And, you know, I saw a tweet yesterday from Olive Garden, of all places, that in order to take advantage of their never-ending pasta fast, you have to show voter ID. And I thought, that's weird. Olive Garden takes pasta fast security more seriously than Democrats are taking election security. So, yes, President.
All right. So I saw Virginia Fox and Steve Scalise make the same point about Olive Garden needing ID for never-ending pasta fast, which is funny. And also, like... Olive Garden does not has not pre-authorized you to get the pasta pass by matching your social security number with a verifiable address, right? Uh-huh. Right. They also don't have the threat of sending you to prison if you're caught using duplicate pasta passes.
There also is like a totally different kind of incentive for wanting to fake having an Olive Garden's unlimited pasta pass, mm-hmm. as opposed to whatever, voting more times than you're supposed to, or voting when you're not. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not the same thing. If you don't got a lot of money and you want free food, that's different than being like, I want to vote twice in a state with 20 million people voting in this election or whatever the fuck. It's just not the same situation.
You get more value out of stealing a never-ending pasta pass than you do of stealing a vote.
By a lot, by like a whole lot. Right. That's what I'm saying. So it makes sense, really, that there would be more scrutiny or security, voting, or whatever you want to call it.
Voting has tremendous civic value and spiritual value. Yes. Right? It's participating in a democracy. It does not have any direct, like, your vote likely does not fucking matter in the sense of swinging elections, right? We know what we're talking about. You guys understand what we're talking about. So as far as the SAVE Act, like, I'm at the point where I'd be fine with voter ID if it calmed people down and solved the problem of them being suspicious of elections, but it won't.
Right.
A bunch of people are convinced, like, they make clickbait, they make money off convincing people that elections are fucking crooked and under threat. So why would they stop? They'll just move the goalposts. But also, the bill does not just require voter ID. If it just required you to show a driver's license when you voted, fuck it. Who gives a shit? But it makes a lot of people show passports. If I'm a county election administrator who doesn't want to end up in prison off this dumb law, I'm making people show passports. Right? How many people in America have passports? It's not a lot. Lisa Murkowski, and we can finish up here, but she wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. She's a Republican senator for Alaska, if you're not familiar, saying why she's voting against the SAVE Act. And the point she was making, and it's hard to understand this because most Americans live within 15 minutes, 20 minutes of a grocery store they can drive to, right? And county election offices you can go to and register in person. The law requires people to register to vote in person. Alaska has 6 places you can do that, an entire state which is twice the size of Texas. 80% of the state is not connected by roads. There are people who live on remote islands there. She did the math. Would cost an $800 plane ticket and a $300 hotel room staying overnight to go to a place they could register to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's voting against it. What they're making it sound like it's a simple, common sense solution. and it's fucking not.
Right.
So I just like, it's like, anyway, they're going to, if everybody agreed to shut the fuck up about elections being rigged, if we had voter ID, I'd be in favor of it. But until we get to that point, I'm not, because it won't solve anything. So, yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. We're going to wrap it up there. Thank you guys for watching. Listen, go to treycrowder.com. Look them up. Coming tour dates. I've got the Midwest and upstate New York coming up next there in a little bit. That's all at treycrowder.com. Check out Producer Matt's audio exclusive, good SKUs, good people doing good things. If you want a little palate cleanser, that's on the podcast feed, the audio only feed for this show. As for this show, you can get more of it and support us in the process by signing up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or go to Patreon and search for my name. You'll find it. $5 a month gets you ad-free versions of all the regular episodes, plus 2 full-length bonus episodes every month, which include quarterly Q&As where we answer questions from you guys. So either way, as long as you keep watching the main show, we'll keep doing them, I reckon, at least in the near term or until the world ends or whatever. Thanks for watching. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skew.